Okay, let's start this off with some facts. Please state your name for the record.
Liam Keane.
Nationality?
British and Taiwanese.
Are you now, or have you ever been, a supporter of Taiwan independence?
Yes.
Are you now, or have you ever been, a member of a terrorist organization?
Yes.
Okay, I think that wraps it up, officers. No, okay. Aren't we glad that we live in a place where we are allowed to say whatever we want?
Very much so.
Freedom of speech.
The Taiwan History Podcast, Formosa Files, is made possible through the generous sponsorship of the Frank C. Chen Foundation.
Formosa Files.
So I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who don't support Taiwan independence, but that's not the point. Formosa Files is not a political show, but we are super pro freedom of speech. And it took organizations like the one you work with and other people, of course, who fought for Taiwanese democracy and are still fighting for recognition. And I'll let you take it from there. What organization are you associated with and why were you terrorists?
Formosan Association for Public Affairs.
Okay. That doesn't sound very terroristic.
It doesn't, does it? It was an organization founded 40 years ago to support the independence of Taiwan, the self-determination option for the Taiwanese people. And way back when, a lot of the founding members were blacklisted by the KMT government at the time. I believe it was also on the US terror watch list for many, many years.
So the same name that the organization currently has, that was the one that was used 40 years ago as well?
Yes, it's always been Formosan Association for Public Affairs.
Okay. And did you pick that name because it's like very vague?
Yeah, I'll be honest, I don't know where the name came from. And it's a bit of a mouthful to say, so we shorthand it to FAPA.
Okay.
So we have 44 chapters across America. I think about 3,000 members. We are a grassroots advocacy campaign. It is a registered 501c NGO, and our aim is to educate predominantly the American government and the American public in general about Taiwan, about why it should have inclusion, and why it should be Taiwan and not Republic of China.
Right. So very pro-Taiwan independence, educating the U.S. government and advocating for Taiwan. But you're no longer terrorists.
Correct, yes. We are a fully legit, everything-on-the-table organization, nothing untowards about us. And there never was. They just people did not like what we were trying to do.
Right, so we should be clear about that. You just got put on this list because of at the time.
Yes, politics at the time, yeah. So we have a list of highlights from us, and I will send you all of this information. In 1982, through our pushing, there was a House Resolution 591 that called for the abolishment of martial law in Taiwan. And that was something we helped push, which is why a lot of the members were on a blacklist for obvious reasons. And then in 1987, a few years later, it was abolished.
Yes.
We have the support for Taiwan's membership in international organizations. Yeah, that was in 92. In 94 was when we changed China to Taiwan on passports. Security Enhancement Act, which called for exchanges of senior officers and direct military communications. That was in 2000. In 2001, George Bush signed a bill that supported Taiwan's participation in the World Health Assembly as an observer.
Hasn't happened yet.
Correct. And that's another issue we will work on, making things not just a to-do list, but an actual do-the-things list.
Do list.
Right. In 2011, the Taiwan Policy Act, which encouraged high-level exchanges and closer security cooperation. In 2004, we had the House pass an act which stated the United States should not discourage Taiwan officials from visiting the United States on the basis of violating the One China policy. And then Donald Trump in 2018 signed the Taiwan Travel Act, which encouraged high-level official visits both ways, which was great. But the main one is 2016, the House and Senate both passed the Six Assurances Resolution, which was to reaffirm the Taiwan Relations Act and the Six Assurances as the cornerstone as U.S.-Taiwan relations, and not any of the older Shanghai communique nonsense from when Kissinger surrendered to the People's Republic of China.
Yeah, we did an episode about that, and we feel that those two gave away more than they got.
Absolutely.
And they were in a position to, it could have ended very differently.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing. Now we will work to clean that up. So we are not a political organization. We don't take sides. We work with whoever's in power anywhere we can to educate more about Taiwan, from local level through counties, through to the state level, through to the federal government level. We will meet with both sides. What's quite good at the moment is nobody wants to be seen to be saying no to Taiwan. Mm. So it's quite an easy sell because it's a package that America likes. You know, it's a democratic island, same values wrapped in freedom, democracy.
Yeah. You have a point that is pretty hard to refute if you're an American. And that's, here's a democratic, actually rated the most democratic country in Asia.
I can assure you as this is something I often bring up with Americans, as a member of a government who used to be a tyrant to the Americans and how it was alleged we behaved, there is another situation like that happening here. And you've stopped it once, help us stop it happening to Taiwan. China does have a lot of clout and we don't want to accidentally slip into a war. Nobody wants a war. It is probably not inevitable, regardless of my personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And so from an organization, we will work with things like the Twin Cities Act. And so we will try to twin Taiwan with certain towns and cities. And these are smaller level things. And even these smaller level things, the PRC will interfere in. But, you know, it boosts Taiwan's profile. We will have Taiwanese American Heritage Week, which was something Formosan Association for Public Affairs helped to start.
We've certainly come a long ways from the days when people mistook Thailand and Taiwan.
I do get that occasionally still.
Oh, really?
One guy just last month was like, oh, the elephants.
Lovely elephants we have here.
Many of them, riding them through Kaohsiung.
Yes, take it to work every day.
But that's where FAPA kicks in. So, you know, I took the opportunity to educate him. Elephants sound great, but it's a little bit further south. Here's what we do in Taiwan. Here's what we eat. Here's what we ride to work. It's a scooter. Many, many scooters.
So what would you tell somebody who would say something like this? Why rock the boat? You know, right now, the Republic of China is working. It might be a convenient fiction, as some people have called it, but it's working. And the fact that, you know, our president, Tsai Ing-wen, outgoing president, she was very specific recently and said, there's no need to declare independence because we are already an independent country, the Republic of China / Taiwan. So why are you pushing it, man?
That's a very good question. I'm just a troublemaker. No, why not? Isn't that the beauty of freedom of speech? Give people that option. I think you're right that it is a fabrication.
I didn't say that.
People would be right in the assumption that it is a fabrication. And I think we'd do well to change that. That fabrication comes with a lot of baggage. And that boat is constantly being rocked anyway by a belligerent neighbor of Taiwan's. So why not go all the way and change it? Why not just sidestep the history, move on? Why not give these people these rights? In America, one of the things FAPA does, one of the things we've worked on over the last few years, are things like being able to have Taiwan on people's passport instead of Republic of China, because that's what Taiwanese Americans wanted. That's what we as an organization want. And we were able to change the quota. Why when immigrants come to America, are we lumped into the China category? We're not Chinese. So, and we were able to do that as an organization through our campaigning.
I think we understand what you say when you say we're not Chinese. I'm American and we split off from you folks.
That's true.
I wouldn't call myself British.
Your loss.
So I understand. But we are 80-90% of the country has relatively recent ties to China. I mean, people don't like sometimes to hear this, but we are the world's only Chinese democracy.
Yes.
If you're okay with the word Chinese.
Yes. We are definitely a Chinese heritage democracy.
Okay.
But
fair
splitting
enough.
Hairs.
Yes. Yes. So we are Chinese in a sense.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if they weren't so belligerent in their behavior, you know, if China was to be more open and friendly to Taiwan, I genuinely think they would be best of friends, much like Britain and America. But you don't see America now turning around and demanding the UK be part of America. That would be madness. Especially on a fabricated history. Well, back in the 1940s, we lent you a tank. So now you're American. You can't just make things up.
So there's a lot of pushback on this particular issue of history, and I'm interested to hear your view. But the fact of the Republic of China is it was proclaimed January 1st, 1912. And at the end of World War II, an ROC general was sent to Taiwan to accept the surrender of the Japanese, who gave up in a treaty, you know, all of the territories that they had conquered. Da, da, da. And I know that people split hairs over the Conference of Cairo or this, that, and the other. But how can you argue that the Republic of China is not actually a reality?
I don't think anyone's saying the Republic of China is not a reality. Historically, the Republic of China did exist. What we're talking about is the People's Republic of China claiming Taiwan. And Taiwan was never determined. Its future was to be determined at a later point, and the administration from the Americans would be Republic of China at the time. Why not determine that now? Let's clean up some history.
But basically, I mean, we're all on the same page of just leave us alone.
Yes, I think that's the main entity. Whatever we do, be it working through... So let me give you an example. On a personal scale, I believe the Republic of China flag is a very useful tool in the West because they know that as associated with Taiwan.
Yeah.
Now, FAPA as an organization may not agree with that so much because it is not a flag of Taiwan, as you guys have had a wonderful episode about talking about the flags of Taiwan.
We don't actually have a flag.
Yes, correct. Well, why not have one? Currently, this does serve as propaganda, so we can use it in a sense of, well, hey, look at this. This is Taiwan. Alert people, raise awareness, and then once we have their attention, we can say, here's the problems we're having. Can you help us? We have a bunch of American Taiwanese voters. We would like to have a say in both American foreign policy, and we have an interest in Taiwan. And both of those have a shared interest in terms of democracy, freedom, human rights, you know?
I'll be honest with you. So in every political organization or in every country, there is a side that is a bit that way.
Yes, one way or the other.
And they serve a very important purpose because, you know, you need somebody pulling weight on that end.
Yeah.
And so even if we don't achieve the Republic of Taiwan, the work that you're doing could lead to, like you say, changing the name of an office or the thing on a passport. And those are important things as well.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes some of the pushback we get, particularly from the US government, can be about symbolism or substance. You know, is this real substance? Is this symbolism? Well, they're the same thing for Taiwan. Every little bit helps us, you know, changing an office, changing the name of a passport, changing your birthplace. So you weren't able to have birthplace listed as Taiwan. Now you can. It used to be China. So all of these little things, as you say, do pull away from, quite frankly, the PRC. A few years ago, when I was just joined FAPA, I had a Taiwanese businessman, and he was joking how we're a deep green cover organization. You know, we're getting funding from the Taiwan government in America. No, that's not how this works.
Okay, where do you get your funding?
From our individual members, or from people who wish to go to our website and donate, which I will leave with you, and hopefully some listeners will. Shameless plug. I mean, we could do far more if we were funded by a government, but we're not. We're a US registered entity. Whilst we have some members who are Taiwan government now, the current vice president or incoming vice president, the current president, the outgoing president, Joseph Wu's son, he was a member too. So there are links, but there's not funding. Everything we do is above board, legal, accounted for, and it's in America. We're nothing to do with Taiwan in that sense. We're just advocating for Taiwan in America with Taiwanese Americans and other parts of American culture and society to keep Taiwan free. In my opinion, what we're trying to do is also help wake up Americans to the threat of China. You know, it's often, I will have conversation with friends in America and they're like, oh, well, I don't think China are like that. Or, well, that sounds a bit racist. None of those things are true. China is like that. And them encroaching
on- We should specify. When we're talking about China, we're talking about the Communist Party of China.
The communist rulers
of the- The average Chinese person is not an enemy of Taiwan.
Correct. They're wonderful people. Many friends of mine and friends of people in Taiwan.
And they're the ones being oppressed more than anyone else by the Communist Party.
And their next step is to come here. We need to help keep them off the shores of Taiwan or we'll be fighting them off the shores of California. And I don't think America can afford that. You know, you'd have to build, what would it be, a 10th and 11th fleet. You'd have to reroute internet cables. The PRC government would have free submarine access to the entirety of the ocean. You know, you would endanger all of your Southeast Asian allies. You would lose chip manufacturing. Those are really big risks. And I think each day we're working is helping to prevent catastrophic risks from happening.
So you're the Winston Churchill during the interwar years saying, it's Germany's coming. And everyone's saying, oh, you're alarmist. And Neville Chamberlain is, you know,
Me personally, yes, I'm probably slightly more alarmist. The organization, again, we don't take a view, but we have this information. Perhaps you'd like to read it just in case. You know, think about all the trade. You know, I think one of the wonderful things about America is everything comes down to the bottom line of how much dollars will it cost. Well, it will cost you far more to have Taiwan in communist hands than to be independent or free or its current non-decided state.
And of course, China had a wonderful opportunity in Hong Kong to demonstrate that they could live up to their word and do this one country, two systems thing. They promised it for 50 years, didn't get very far into that. Here's a criticism for you. Many of the members of these groups who go to the WHO and get kicked out deliberately or all of this, they live pretty swanky lives in California or somewhere. They don't live in Taiwan. They're not here. They're not going to be the ones who are going to be rounded up should the horrible thing happen. You hear my criticism.
Yes, I fully understand that criticism, but I guess the rebuttal would be a lot of the people in Taiwan would leave too. And we're talking former people like President Ma, for example. You think he's going to stick around when the unfortunate thing happens?
He's going to go back to Hong Kong.
Yeah, right. People like that will be on the first plane out. No organization is perfect. And I certainly take on board what you're saying, but there are lots of us within the organization who aren't like that. You know, I have a vested interest in Taiwan. My house is here. My family are frequently here.
And you are trying to become a citizen.
Yes. I mean, I have a Taiwan passport. So yeah, I have an interest in being here too, in keeping this place as wonderful as it is.
It was really...
You can't shame all for the sum.
Agreed.
Just the same as you cannot with China.
Agreed. I was really happy when Lithuania changed the name of the trade office. And maybe they have a luxury because I looked up the trade that they have with China and it's pretty small. They can get their tires from Germany rather than from China. But they are members of the EU, and the EU can't tell them not to do it.
True. And NATO, too.
Maybe we should be working with smaller nations to try to get more of this going. The U.S., a U.S. president has a significant amount of power to do all sorts of stuff. But realistically...
I think you're right. You know, there are certain things each year we try. We have a list of objectives, and one of them would be, hey, how do you fancy recognition of Taiwan? And of course, that has yet to happen. But you got to try your luck. And I think you're right that former countries in that area of Europe have an understanding of what communism could do to them, of what an imposing bully neighbor can do to them. And we could work more with them. And I believe we probably are, as well as places like India, who, you know, they're moving closer and closer to Taiwan. I was there recently for work. They love Taiwan TV, food, culture, language. You know, that's a powerful player. And if not now, it certainly will be over the next 10 years. We can use as a assist against oppression anywhere, not just with China.
It's important that people listening know that although China likes to say that America has accepted the One China policy, the truth is that America acknowledges China's position.
Yes.
Which is a really diplomatic way of saying, yeah, you said that.
Yes, that is true. And a lot of people actually don't know that. You know, there are two different ideas here. One is this is ours, and one is, as you say, sure, you can think that. Hopefully we can continue to move the American goalposts even further away from things like that to say, you can think that, but here's what we absolutely think. Strategic clarity, strategic ambiguity. Currently, we work with strategic ambiguity. We have a sitting president who's been exceptional in throwing that away. You know, he's already breaking protocols in terms of we will send troops to defend Taiwan, which is a useful tool when you're speaking to senators or House representative members to say, look, your own president is saying that this is what we can do. So why not change this? And that's something we will keep working towards.
And the word recognition has many meanings. I mean, you could have a resolution recognizing the current independent status of Taiwan or something short of the Republic of Taiwan, for example.
And all of those things help. You know, these are all things we can do. We recently had, it may seem minor, but things like the Taiwan Fellowship Act. So we would send American federal level employees, I think it's about 10 or 20 of them, would come to Taiwan for a year, work with their Taiwanese counterparts. They would learn Mandarin. They experience the island more. It's only a small step. But having people with that experience then go back and work at the federal level of the government, they can say, well, we've experienced these things. You know, we can see what a great place it is. And all of these tiny acts build up to something more substantial.
Letting Taiwanese diplomats meet with their counterparts in the US, in the office.
Yeah, absolutely. Being able to show a flag when we decide what that is. But currently the Republic of China flag, being able to display that. You know, these are all steps in the right direction.
Okay, before I let you go, I got to hear this one story that we were talking about before we started recording. And basically, it's the plot of The Mouse That Roared, a Peter Sellers film from the 1960s. Taiwan was going to attack America and then surrender to it. What in the world was this about?
Oh, this is a story I heard, which doesn't relate to FAPA, but a friend of mine who used to work in Taiwan. When the Chinese would come from one way, the Taiwanese would fly out the other way, bomb Guam, surrender to America, and then we'd be safe. You know, we would be a protectorate of America.
Nice.
Which, I mean, it's not the craziest idea. I certainly hope it's still not policy, but you can't blame them for thinking of it once upon a time. You know, these tidbits of history, someone should write a book. Because I think one of the shortfalls we have as an organization is Taiwanese Americans are pretty much just Americans.
Yeah.
And one of the great things about FAPA is trying to claw that back so there's less brain drain. You know, learn more about Taiwan. Anyone can, you know, government, regular people, your kids, you know.
And get more people from the blue side involved in your work.
Yeah, I think while we are not a political organization, our individual members are certainly encouraged to be as political as they wish to be. You know, it's one of the freedoms of America. And most of our members do probably lean various shades of green, and none of them particularly blue. And, you know, maybe we can change that. They're all Taiwanese too. I don't think blue means bad. I don't think really your political opinion matters. We all want the same thing, which is a Taiwan that doesn't belong to anyone but Taiwanese.
Or a Taiwan that is able to determine its own future.
Yes, that in a nutshell. And I think that will involve both sides of the political spectrum in Taiwan, of whatever consensus the Taiwanese choose to come to with that. You know, that's for them to decide and not us as an organization. So we welcome any members from any walks. You can have that conversation. Your political opinion is not your identity. So come and learn more history and come and help us keep Taiwan that way.
Well, thank you for being on Formosa Files, and thank you for doing what you're doing.
If any of your listeners wish to join the organization, I will leave the website with you. You're more than welcome to. Thank you very much.